Happy Lent. Prior to the start of Lent, in the daily masses, we've been reading from the Gospel of Mark. And I love Mark's Gospel for obvious reasons. I always celebrate St. Mark because he writes about the gospel, about Jesus Christ and his saving truth in such economy of words. He's Hemingway-esque, if you will. However, as the adage says, even Homer nods, not Homer Simpson, Homer the great poet. If you don't know who that is, take a Western Civ class, please, while you're here at a liberal arts college. This event we have tonight, this is what St. Mark has to say about that. He remained in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. That's it. That's all we get. That's all we get of the temptation of Jesus. So I wonder if in heaven, Mark is always going around going, man, less is more, especially when he sees St. John. Like, less is more. You don't need prologues. You don't need all this stuff. Less is more. But then I think, especially St. Matthew and St. Luke see Mark about this event, and they're like, sometimes less is just less. So, what do we have? Jesus being tempted, and St. Luke, the account, gives us a great and powerful account. And what I want to do is, before we go into the various details of that gospel, just a couple words, two words about temptation. Two words. Temptation is normal, and it is necessary. It is normal if you are trying to follow Jesus, which is what it's all about if you're a Christian, to become more and more like Jesus, then you are going to be tempted. It is normal. Jesus was tempted. If you've started Lent off strong, by now you have already been tempted. It is normal to be tempted. But friends, it's also necessary. It is necessary. St. Augustine, our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial. We progress by means of trial. No one knows himself except through trial. And then St. Leo the Great, virtue is nothing without the trial of temptation. For there is no conflict without an enemy, no victory without strife. So when you encounter, not if, but when you encounter temptation in your life, it all hinges on how you respond to it. If you respond to it well and correctly, cooperating with the grace that God gives in every temptation, then temptation actually, friends, is a good. You will progress by means of engaging that temptation and cooperating with grace to push through it. It's resistance training in the spiritual life. You push hard against heavy objects and you get stronger. So temptation is normal and it is necessary. And remember that. Please remember that. St. Luke, if you want to dive into this chapter, it's the fourth chapter in his gospel. Let's take the three temptations that Jesus has given. Let's take them in reverse order. And there's a reason for that. So what do we have? The last temptation. Satan leads Jesus to Jerusalem, makes him stand on the parapet of the temple, and says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, right? And then the one before that, Satan shows him all the kingdoms, all the power in the world in an instant. And he said, I can do with this whatever I want because all this power has been given to me. All of it's yours if you just worship me. And then the first one, Jesus, who has been fasting for 40 days, is hungry. So see these stones, make them bread. Satisfy yourself. Those three temptations match perfectly with the three disciplines that we are to be about in this holy season of Lent. Watch what happens. So the third temptation, the last one, Jesus up on the parapet, challenged to throw himself off, to make himself a spectacle. It's a type of narcissism. And friends, that runs rampant in this culture today. To make everything about me, including God's will, I'll put God to the test, but I'll also put him to the test so that I may be seen. The parapet of the temple is the center of Israel life. It's the highest point in the city. You see someone up there, everybody looks. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? And so Jesus is tempted to put his father to the test, to be noticed, to be acknowledged and seen for who he is in special relationship to God, not to simply humbly serve and to be obedient to his will, but to force God's hand so that everybody would know just how special he is. Do you see the narcissism? Do you see the temptation there? Well, that is real in all of our lives. Think social media. Think a selfie culture. It says, look at me. Everyone's desperate. Look at me. I'm special. Look at me. Good things are happening in my life. And we bend even the will of God to our own will so that we can satisfy our own need for self-affirmation. Well, here comes Lent. And here comes the wisdom of Jesus Christ handed to his church and passed down through the generations to us. And so what is the antidote to this first temptation is almsgiving. Almsgiving. Just simply give to someone else. Just serve. Make someone else's life more important than your life. Take your joy in putting them above yourself. Just give. And not in a way that draws attention to yourself, but just serve. As you heard on Ash Wednesday, don't even let your left hand know what your right is doing. Just serve. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Just give generously and in secret, in a quiet and humble way. Almsgiving cancels out narcissism. Second temptation. All the powers of the world, right? All of it. It's right there for Jesus. He just bows down and worships. It's idolatry. And how many idols are there in this day and age? Where are temples? Where are the temples to the false gods? They are all around us. And they're hiding in plain sight. And people sacrifice almost daily on those altars to make anything other than God the center of one's life is idolatry. And every time, friends, if you know the scriptures, every time the Israelites fall to worshiping a false god, they get enslaved. First here, and then bodily. Their hearts, their souls, their minds enslaved. The Lord gives an antidote, though. He speaks of it, and he hands it down to his church. And the church in this holy season of Lent exhorts us. And so the antidote to idolatry is prayer. And we make time for prayer in Lent. We fight for it. We make it the main thing. Because as we decide and we make a decision to pray, we come in a disciplined way before the Lord every day. He reshapes our hearts and he casts out the false idols that seek to enslave us yet again today. And then the last one, Jesus is hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Feed yourself. Take care of yourself. Satan starts here, and it's a temptation to a certain type of hedonism, to satisfy your senses, to make sure that you feel comfortable. And friends, Of course, that is all around us. That is the main thing in this culture. Be comfortable. Take care of yourself. Satan starts here. He starts here. He hits Jesus right in his humanity, right in his weakness from having fasted. Why does he start there? Because he knows if he gets Jesus here, he doesn't even have to worry about the next two temptations. If he can get Jesus to satisfy his craving right now, then he's got him. And how true is that for us right now? 2019. Satan starts right there. Satisfy your cravings. Take care of yourself. Make yourself comfortable. And of course, Jesus has an answer to that. And he speaks of it, and he gives it to his church, and the church in this holy season passes it down to us. And so the antidote to this type of hedonism, this taking care of oneself, satisfying your basic needs immediately and always, fasting. Fasting. To deny oneself. To deny oneself. And I want to talk a little bit more about that one, because that's the starting point in this culture. If we can't fast, there's no way we can follow Jesus. If we can't deny ourselves, there is no way we can become the men and women he has called us to be. No way. You see, Jesus, when he goes into this, and of course in Luke, he only has one response. Shall not live on bread alone. Matthew goes a little bit longer. He says, you shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus for 40 days has been denying himself. But in that denial of basic human needs, something more has happened in his heart, and he is awakened even more strongly to his deep and abiding need to be in communion with his Father. If we deny ourselves, that deep and abiding need to be in communion with our Father will rise up and become strong and vibrant. But if we do not, if we take care of ourselves, if we do everything that we want and have it right away, we will never awaken that deep, deep, deep desire to know, to love, and to serve our Heavenly Father. We will not be aware of the deep need of communion with God. And so we will run from thing to thing, trying to satisfy ourselves. And it is all over in this culture. It is all over on this campus because it is in your heart and in my heart to make things absolutely as easy as possible and about what I want right away. Fast internet, coffee every morning, treats and thousands of food options in the stack every day. And if we don't have all those, we complain. Everything has to be fast. Everything has to be convenient. Everything has to be according to my desires right now. And all of that has a goodness, but boy, it has gone way, way, way overboard because we begin not just to expect it, we begin to demand it. And then once we demand it enough, we can't even imagine life apart from that. And so all those things begin to become compulsions, and then they become addictions. And this is an addicted culture. We can't say no, even for a moment. And so the church in her wisdom comes and says, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't have to be this way. Learn to say no, because you've said a bigger yes. Fasting, my friends. This first week in Lent, I exhort you, I implore you to find something substantial and to fast from it. Technology, food, comfort, noise, interior, exterior noise. Find something. Pray this week. Lord, what are you inviting me to give up, to say no to, so that I can create space to say the bigger yes? Fasting is powerful, my friends. It's so powerful, Saint Basil the Great called it a sin-destroying machine. A sin-destroying machine, fasting. So his great quote, which I loved so much, I brought back mass cards just for you to have. Fasting gives birth to prophets and strengthens the powerful. Fasting makes lawgivers wise. Fasting is a good safeguard for the soul, a steadfast companion for the body, a weapon for the valiant, and a gymnasium for athletes. Fasting repels temptations, anoints unto piety. It is the comrade of watchfulness and artificer of chastity. In war, it fights bravely. In peace, it teaches stillness. Well, here we are in Lent. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Tonight and this week, if you haven't already, focus on fasting. Because it is a fight. And in war, it helps us fight bravely. We have to fight. We have to. In peace, it teaches stillness. Fast. And watch the great things that the Lord can do in your life.